I changed her outfit to something a bit more respectable after a while. I'm not gonna lie. I had to. It was just a bit the ladder climbing sequences.
I chose the outfit that I wanted her to wear.
Mm.
And I showed my wife.
Yeah. And she, her thoughts, I'm sure, were like, ooh, lovely.
Yes, she. I showed her the outfits and she thought, oh, wow, I'd actually wear some of these. Well, she said.
My wife was like, damn, she must have done a lot of yoga. Like,
oh, yeah.
Eve on the colony must just be a downward dogging on everything every single day.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. You well?
Yes, I'm well. I'm also sticky.
Okay. I have to ask, why are you sticky?
Sticky? Is that the right? No, that's probably not the right word. Stinky, maybe.
Oh, stinky. Wow, completely.
Well, both sticky and stinky. This is horrible. I'm sorry, ladies and gents. I recently got myself some twins. Yes, I know, mm-hmm. Twins. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So if anyone can beat me in the question, how many times have they been thrown up on this morning?
Damn, geez. That's the world you live in and I live in are two different ones. Like,
very true.
That sounds hectic. Like, just the idea of full-on exorcist in the morning times two. Sorry, that's how I picture it. Sorry.
The answer, by the way, is two. Both the twins took their turns throwing up on me, so which is fine. It's
that's
just
nice.
New shit.
I'm glad they took their turns, because it'd been hectic if they did at the same time. They're polite enough to take it one by one.
Yes, and at least after Oliver threw up on me, I didn't change my shirt.
Okay, yeah. Just
so Lisa threw up on the already threw up on
okay,
shirt.
Okay, that is handy. That's handy, right? Just one wash. I'm with you. The little wins in life that you have to take wins from silver, yes. Some things. Yeah, yeah, I'm with
this
you.
This is a horrible conversation.
It is a bit strange, but it's life, and life is strange.
Very much. This week, we have an extremely surprising game.
Right? Yeah. I
didn't know what to think about. I knew exactly what to think about this game when we saw the first trailer. We were wildly off center.
Yes, agreed.
Because that first trailer had a lot of Eve in it.
Yeah, no, it's full of Eve. You're not wrong.
But then this game came out and it's just completely different. Before we start, I just want to give a nice big old thank you to Gamefinity, PlayStation, and ShiftUp for providing the review codes for this game. Thank you very, very much. We always appreciate it.
And if you hadn't guessed it yet, the game is Stellar Blade, like you
That's
said.
That's right.
Is it ShiftUp, right?
It is ShiftUp. It's a South Korean studio.
Right, it's South Korean. I'm like, it is. I was thinking playing this thing, South Korean have starting to come to the game with their, jeez, you know, they had what, Lies of P?
They really have. That's
they
right.
They had Stellar Blade. They are coming into the forefront of just making some great games recently.
Not just games, but series and movies as well. Right? All types of media.
Yeah, Korea's just killing it
South
at the moment.
Korea.
It's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe there's some bangers in North Korea as well. We just don't know.
Yeah, I know. No one tells us. We're not allowed to know. But yeah, I was looking into this company. This is actually their first, I guess you'd call it AAA game, you know, one that's fully fleshed out for consoles and stuff. They did a bunch of little games.
Mobile games.
Yeah, mobile game called it's Destiny
insane.
Child. But the gentleman who founded it, one of the founders, a guy called Kim Hung Tae, was also the artist director to a game called Magna Carta, which I doubt you know. It's kind of like a JRPG.
But the Gacha one?
I don't think so. And the Mountain Blade, they did an MMO. They've been in the business for quite a while, and then they started this little business themselves, the ShiftUp development company.
All I know is before they did Stellar Blade, they also have this anime waifu gacha game, like Genshin Impact or Honkai Star Rail. Which,
well, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. It makes complete sense. What I don't understand is how they managed to go from a mobile gacha game to this.
Well, that just shows how much money people chuck into gacha games and mobile gaming.
Yes!
Mobile gaming is massive finance.
It's huge. It's much, much bigger than core gaming.
Yeah, it really is. It makes tons of money. Another interesting thing is, did you know that this game, as of today's recording, is the third highest rated game in Metacritic's in PlayStation 5's history?
For PS5 exclusives.
Yes, it's beaten out Baldur's Gate, God of War, and Final Fantasy VII so far with user scores and stuff. It really has. The only ones that beat it, strangely enough, are
Spider-Man 2.
No, the DLC for Resident Evil 4, Separate Ways, well reviewed. And, of course, the Cyberpunk, the Ultimate Edition,
Phantom
was released
Liberty.
Not too long ago. Yeah, it's got everything in it. But, yeah, that's a banging release. To be able to come out swinging like that, and everybody's like, whoa, out of nowhere. This is what I was thinking when playing this. I was thinking that we've been gaming for a very long time. A lot of us gamers, we're getting fed up with Skull and Bones and all these other things.
Oh, come
and
on. Yes, these clear corporate greedy cash grab tricks.
And sometimes I get like disillusioned from, oh God, is it another one? It's another one. And then the little game like this pulls you back in.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. It makes you go, whoa. Like,
this is an honest to goodness video game.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's fun. It's just, it gets you going like, oh, okay, no, I will keep gaming because this is great. This is the feeling you want from playing a game. And I had this playing this game. And by all accounts, this game isn't even the type of game I play. You know, I'm more narrative.
Oh, really?
And I'm an RPG. I'm a slow type of guy. This has got
But this is an action RPG. Is RPG also...
That's true.
Like, let's say a Devil May Cry. Is that not... No, that's not action RPG.
But yeah, I understand why you say that. Like, the combat is kind of alike, right? If you were to balance it off, yeah. Those games I like more than, say, Dark Souls, because I just can't do Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. They're just too hard. I'm too old for them. But yeah, this was out of nowhere. This was a long time since I played a game, like an unknown game, kind of.
Yes.
And then just put it in and started playing it, and like 4 hours have gone by, and you're just like, whoa, let's just do this bit, or let's just go to this bit. Oh no, this game was fun.
It is going to sound weird that this Stellar Blade is somehow a game that just reminds people why video games are just video gamey fun. It is weird to say that because it's not an established franchise. It's not a name that people know.
No, exactly.
And it's not a name that people associate with our online friend Jake Baldino called video game junk food.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
You can deny it. You like junk food.
Oh yes. I think they say the average human buys like McDonald's and stuff once a week. Everybody likes junk food. Really, like everybody loves junk food. And you're right, the same thing with gaming. There are just games that just feed that appetite, so to speak.
Yes, this is Stellar Blade, I think, is going to go down as one of PS5's highest rated exclusives.
Oh,
even
yeah, no doubt.
In decades from now, when people are going to think back about the PS5, they're going to think of the first installment of the Stellar Blade franchise.
Definitely. And out of nowhere, did you see that Tencent bought 20% of their stock? Tencent.
Really?
Right, yeah. Tencent saw what it was, knew what it was, and decided to get a big party share. So I know.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. The old Tencent seems to be creeping in everywhere.
Oh, no. Tencent, I feel the corporations in America are loudmouthed.
Yes.
They're all foul, EA, Ubisoft. I don't like any of them. Mm-hmm. Activision Blizzard. But they're quite loud. They don't know how to shut up. Tencent, on the other hand, they're just as greedy, but they know how to stay silent.
Yeah, they're sneaky with it. There's no doubt they are sneaky with it. But it's a good sign for the company itself. It's only 20%. That
very
means
true,
they own the majority share.
If we can support good studios making video games, more power to them.
Okay, should we jump into narrative then?
I'd say if we can get narrative out of the way, this would be, in my opinion, the weakest part of this game.
Okay, okay.
How do you feel?
Well, okay, there was one thing. The basic premise of the game, ladies and gents, Earth is losing a war against...
Earth has lost.
Well, yeah, Earth has, yes, true, lost the war to some degree. There are still some of them left. That's, you know, mm-hmm. we're still hanging around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Against, I'm going to say this wrong. Is it, are they the Nitibas?
The Natibas.
Natibas, sorry. and Eve and other battle angels. I always say battle angels because of Alita, the battle angel.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Alita, the battle angel.
Leave the colony to come and help take Earth back is the main premise of it.
Yes.
You are here to turn the tide so we can claim Earth back, and with many twists and bends in the story later. The only one thing I noticed in this, and I don't know if you would or not, have you watched the movie The Matrix?
What kind of a question is that?
I know, you don't watch anything, so I have to ask. You must have watched the movie Matrix, right?
I've not.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa. Not
Why
one
Why are you
of
putting
them?
Me on a pedestal in front of everyone? Making me admit I've not seen The Matrix.
Okay. This is going to be news for you, but just go with me, right? In The Matrix, you know the premise of The Matrix, right?
I think so.
Using us as batteries made a fake AI environment for us to live in, blah, 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 right?
Yes.
In The Matrix, the last human city is called Zion.
Yes.
In this game, the last human city is called Zion.
Ooh.
In The Matrix, one of the most powerful figures is called the Oracle. In this game, one of the most powerful figures is called the Oracle.
Oracle, that's right. Weird name. Anyway. Right.
And in this game, to fast travel, you use phones and payphones.
Whoa, so...
And in The Matrix, they use that to travel between the real world and the outside world, right? And in this game, there are tens of thousands of people stuck in stasis, which is pretty much fundamentally the same thing in The Matrix. Everybody is in stasis to help run or repower the machines or something.
Wait a minute. Okay, so are you telling me the entire game of Stellar Blade... Oh, ladies and gents, we've not reached the end. We don't know if there's spoilers or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Are you telling me the entire Stellar Blade game might be in a simulation?
I don't know. I just can't not see the similarities.
The ties.
All everywhere, right? Everywhere. Like, for the first... Literally, like, for the first 2 hours, I'm like, somebody loves The Matrix who developed this game, because it's literally almost the path of Neo-esque, and everything is kind of the same.
I like it,
because I like The Matrix, so I'm more than happy.
I like this theory a ton. I will admit, though, the Stellar Blade very clearly carries its inspirations on its sleeve, because there's also some thick inspiration drawn by the Nier franchise.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no,
which it's not even trying to hide. It's not even being subtle about it. Maybe it's the same for The Matrix. Jeez, I didn't even notice.
They're all one big universe. Oh. That'd be kind of cool, to be honest with you. That would be quite
sweet. It makes sense. Jesus. Oh, David, what did you stumble upon? Oh, this sets my imagination ablaze. What if this is a simulation and the Natibas are just organic viruses?
Wow, you are playing into the Matrix theme now. Yes.
I mean, they don't even look like anything. They're just big mounds of flesh and teeth and nails and spikes. What if they're just viruses in this simulation? And you, Eve, you're the antivirus.
Wow, I feel like I've just taken you down some like big conspiracy road, and you're just happy to live there right now. Like,
No, but it makes sense.
It's great, isn't it? I've literally been playing it thinking, okay, somebody loves The Matrix. Am I the only one who's spotting this? Because the telephone thing. But I love it. I'd love to find out if this is the ending. I'm not there yet.
I'm 100% finishing this game just to find out.
Yeah, same. And it's funny that you have to keep a little Star Wars thing. You have to pick up hyperdrives, which just makes me laugh because that's what's in Star Wars.
Hyper and fusion.
I know. Yeah, that's just... But narratively, that's fundamentally it. You go down, you have to collect hyperdrives from different areas to help the Oracle gain power and knowledge to help the people who are in stasis.
Can I just add what a dumb name Oracle is?
It is! It really is a dumb name.
Ladies and gents, it's not Oracle. How you think? O-R-A-C-L-E. No, it's orcal, like an orca whale with an L at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. That's it. O-R-C-A-L.
Oh, and I also think it's a bit of a weird... Now, granted, ladies and gents, though, I'm sure there's people who've played this longer and they probably know the answer to this. But you're called Eve and your friend is called Adam.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it's all
right. Like, you know, that, there's a reason, right? Like, I know, this game's
probably
good.
The story,
I'm a big sci-fi nut, so the story's kind of got me a little bit. I want to know why and the who's and the hows, which means, you know, I'm going to complete this game. I'm going to find out what's going on. This
100%.
This has hooked me in.
If you think about Adam and Eve and a third party, it's obviously the snake.
Yes, yes. By all
but
means,
in this
yes,
case,
exactly
no, this,
right.
It's not a snake. It's a little dumb teenage girl called Lily.
I like Lily.
Do you like Lily?
Why is she a dumb teenage girl? She's a bit too
she's
energetic.
Annoying.
She's energetic and yeah, got you. She was stuck in a capsule for 2 years.
Exactly.
Poor girl.
Poor girl.
Okay, well, that's another thing, ladies and gents. In this version of Earth, we kind of we've stopped aging and illness, and we don't need to breathe air anymore. We can breathe in space and water and everything like that. So she was stuck in a capsule, but she was perfectly fine. She just couldn't get out. That's humans now.
That sounds like cool that's an incredibly anime thing to have happen.
No, it is.
That is
of course,
so
it's
anime,
it's very
and
anime.
I'm not. It makes sense because this is from one of the far eastern countries, South Korea. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, but then she gets out and I don't know. She's annoying.
But she's a teenager, aren't they? Like fundamentally supposed to be annoying.
Yes, all of them. One day I'm going to have four of them.
Yeah, and they're all going to be annoying around the table. Well, I say that maybe they're delight, but no, teenagers. Have that phase, we all do.
If any teenagers are listening to the show, we're not talking about you. We love you. Subscribe to our Patreon.
You're the exemption, no doubt.
Truly.
I did
find Lily annoying, but I also found all the other characters just extremely one-dimensional and bland. There's not a single character I think I liked.
Not even Barry?
Barry? I didn't meet Barry. Who's Barry?
Barry the fishmonger. You do only meet him later on. He's all right.
No, I didn't. Okay, maybe
Barry.
I've not met Barry cool. yet. Oh, wait a minute. Is he the one that checks you out and says you're boring or something?
Yeah, that's right. You're dull. You're boring. Yeah,
you're dull.
Yeah, that's right. Quite rude. Yeah, no. That was
what
him.
What a Chad.
Well, I like I said, I am very much a glutton for sci-fi things. I like the design. I like the design of it. I give you that some of the characters are a bit annoying, but I'm enjoying it so far. I like the weird juxtaposition of like robotics and humans and stuff like that. It's
very cool. It is very cool. I liked the way they looked as well. We can get into that in visuals.
Yeah,
how they were written is so. It's not good.
I don't think
the writing is very good in this game. Sorry, yeah?
Is it Close to the Sun bad or better than Close to the Sun?
I think it's worse.
It's worse? It's worse than Close to the Sun? Wow, you really did
probably, maybe not worse, I don't know.
It just didn't catch you?
No, I don't think it's going to catch you. Anyway, this is like the first draft.
Mm. Yeah, right. I'm with you.
This is like it completely skipped the editors, it completely skipped quality assurance, and it immediately made its way to the voice actors in the studio. This is the first draft. It's what it feels like.
Okay, now I get what you're
saying.
There's
a point where Eve almost falls down a cliff, and she looks down, and the cliche rocks start tumbling, and then Adam over the drone says, "Be sure not to fall down, or else you'll be held in the clutches of death." And I'm thinking, who talks like this? Just say, "Don't fall, Eve, or you'll die."
I do think I saw some bits where they go, "Oh, we have to find this person. I'll have to go talk to that person and find them then."
See?
Didn't we already establish that in the mission aspect? But yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. I didn't notice it as hard as well as you do potentially, yeah. because I was just too much. It was just too much fun. I was having too much fun.
You were too enamored.
I was, yeah.
And which makes sense. I guess that's the magic of a good game. You kind of turn a blind eye unconsciously towards its faults.
Yeah, and I think is a good thing. I kind of fancy Eve, so she couldn't do any wrong.
Who doesn't? Immediately segueing into visuals.
We are immediately right.
Woo! Eve!
Right?
Jeez. I don't...
I've made her red-haired, she's got bangs, she's got... I changed her outfit to something a bit more respectable after a while. I'm not gonna lie. I had to. It was just a bit the ladder climbing sequences.
I chose the outfit that I wanted her to wear.
Hmm.
And I showed my wife.
Yeah. And she, her thoughts, I'm sure, were like, "Ooh, lovely."
Yes, I showed her the outfits and she thought, oh wow, I'd actually wear some of these.
My wife was like, damn, she must have done a lot of yoga. Like,
oh yeah.
Eve on the colony must just be a downward dogging and everything every single day.
I know there's actually, I mean, we're horn dogging all over Eve actually a lot of controversy.
There is,
You read the same stuff, right?
Mm.
There's a lot of controversy about the character model used for Eve in Stellar Blade. I think it's Twitter. The same culprit every single time.
Yeah, normally is Twitter. Yeah, it is true.
They just complain on that app, but they say the character model used for Eve in Stellar Blade is overly sexualized.
Yeah.
And it just completely does not fit for a game like this. To which I strongly disagree.
I agree. It's again, people get really annoyed and butthurt over make-believe scenarios. These aren't...
Right?
This is a set in a thousand years in the future or something on a planet taken over by meat monster things.
Yes.
They don't have to fit in or conform to society. It's literally a fantasy story.
Very, very true. It's an extremely fictional story.
Yes, exactly. It's extremely fictional. And
just to make sure that I'm not overstepping this or thinking as a white privileged male.
Yeah.
I had a conversation about this with my wife Eve in the game, what she looks like, what she can do, all of these things. And not even her, my wife, a female, had an issue with this at all.
Yeah, I like I said,
she thought it was very cool to get representation.
Yes, let's build out everybody. Eve is a badass. She's very much Bayonetta badass. She's not this. She's the one who's saving the world and taking names. I had the same conversation with my wife, and I was having the same. Yes. I was like, when I played Final Fantasy 16, Clive was hot. Was it 16?
Clive Rossfield?
Yeah, I was like, damn, God, I'm a sexy dude in this. And my wife was the same when she saw Eve. She was like, phew, like, if she were playing for that side of the team, Eve's definitely someone she would go for.
Right?
And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
No.
She's a good-looking girl, and Clive's a good-looking fella, and there's nothing wrong with having it on the screen.
Yeah. I made a list. If it's such... I don't think it's so bad to have a sexy female protagonist.
No.
I think beauty and grace are some elements that females excel in, just like
yes, of course.
Males has a natural tendency to be stronger.
Yes, correct.
Right. That doesn't mean females can't be strong and males can't be beautiful and graceful.
Exactly right.
That doesn't
mean
it at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just agree. What about all the other male protagonists, like Geralt? Is Geralt sexy, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, Leon Kennedy.
Oh, he's sexy. Yeah, that's the
know Leon Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's sexy.
Okay. Nathan Drake.
Sexy.
Yes. Dante from Devil May Cry.
He's sexy. Brooding vampire sexy.
About.
No,
this
they're all sexy.
And the shirtless dad, Kratos. Hmm? The majority of this game is just
heart.
It's just muscles all over the place.
Exactly.
At one point, I took off all of his armor so I could see his muscles bulge as he's punching creatures. Sorry, I ran out of breath.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's a big
hypocrisy.
It's a big hypocrisy by, I think, just a bunch of insecure people.
Yeah, I think that's probably mainly the point. It is, and it's relatively sad that they have to make everybody else's life a bit harsher by having to point it out to everyone. But anyway, visuals.
Anyway,
Eve is gorgeous. Yes. Adam's not bad looking.
He's got a lot of clothing tech. Have you seen that new fad of what's it called? I think it's clothing tech.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's pockets within pockets, and the zip unzips the shirt into a parachute.
Yes, that's right.
No, just multifunctional t-shirts and whatever.
Well, I love the idea. It's strangely enough, Eve, your character with the whole space suit lycra thing. She's also wearing a tie. I think it's a really clever idea. I just don't know why she's wearing a tie. It looks
she's
good.
At work.
Right? That's literally, it's a work outfit. I didn't even think of that, of course.
It's funny.
And I did love the whole weird character designs. I liked the neural interfaces on humans, and the fact that they didn't have like real eyes anymore because you could use like computer eyes, and some of their hands were special. It's a very weirdly futuristic kind of China Mevel, which is an author I don't know. I loved the visuals in this. I loved the whole world that you built in this. I thought it was really clever.
There's a lot of this game does big set pieces very well, very very well.
Those bits are great.
There are lots of bits where I just stopped playing and looked around at this massive setting around me. Right? One of them is when you first get to Zion. It's this entire city built underneath, a giant crevice.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it kind of obscures them from the nativas.
That's right.
Another one when you... Oh, there's just so many. I can't...
The wastelands, the big dusty area.
The wastelands, right? Yeah, where there's this certain ladder when you climb up to a highway.
Yes.
In the first area.
Yeah.
That very specific part. I stopped in the middle of the ladder, definitely checked out Eve, and then also the environments around her. It's exceptional.
It is. It's
the way this game looks.
It is, and it's, like I said, there's just the aspect in that scene is the loneliness of the city itself and how empty and how it's falling down. And
that's right.
The grandeur of there used to be millions of people there and now there's not. And I know there's a lot of games that do the same thing. The Last of Us, other games I can't think of right now.
Automata.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. One thing I did notice, which is a very little thing, but something I enjoyed greatly, was in fights you're taking on my favorite one for me was one of those floating squid things with the right? Your last blade strike is where it will get cut on every enemy. Have you noticed that if you do a diagonal the octopus thing was the perfect one for me when it's taking you and it opens its hands, it's got its eight feelers. If your last strike was a vertical strike, it will cut off the feelers on the right. But if it was a top strike or a horizontal strike, it will cut off the tentacles on the top. And it happens on every other bad guy. Your last strike will decapitate them or wherever your last blade stroke hit.
Oh.
So it wasn't just a generic dying scene, say like Elden Ring and stuff like that, where you kill them and they fall down. This actually had precise cut marks where your last strike would cut off the arm or the head or the leg if that's where your last actual attack hit. So you'll actually see the decapitations only ever happen when you actually swing that blade at the head. So it was really precise. It was really crazy.
Notice. Yeah, I really liked that. There's so much going on in a fight or when you end a fight in this bombastic manner. Yes, I didn't even notice that happening. That's awesome.
The meat monster things, they all have a slight earthy aspect to them. Like the octopuses, you have the ant shield things. They look like ants to me. You got the horses with the weird big hammerhead things.
Yes.
You've got, what was the other thing? Oh, the big old crab monster thing, which I don't know if you got to yet. So it seems like it's, for me, I don't know yet, it's playing on that the life on Earth may have mutated in some way.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Animals within them.
Yes.
And big old butcher pigs with two freaking cleavers that keep kicking my ass. But they're there too.
Just to touch on what you're mentioning, the character models for the Nativas are grotesque.
Yeah, they are.
A good way. In the best way, they are grotesque.
And it reminds... Sorry, go on.
No. The bosses, I was just going to say the bosses, are the perfect examples to go off of. The first one, the brute. The first alpha Nativa you fight, just before you unfortunately meet Lily.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's such a unique design.
Yeah, and he was based on a gorilla, right? I can picture
of
it now.
Course.
He was based on a gorilla.
Now that you mention it, yes.
That was a great fight, though. Shit. You're not wrong. That was a freaking great fight.
That was difficult.
And it's one of those situations where it's those fights and the big fights later on, you realize that this is an 18 because you're like, whoa, Eve, those are some great moves you've got there, but damn, that's a lot of blood. Those fights are great. Those, oh God, like I said, we're going to go into gameplay.
They really
are. And the hair. I'm always a big fan of hair. I like hair in games. And
ooh,
the hair
question.
In this, I thought was actually super cool. Yeah, go on.
Which did you pick? Did you pick the original long ponytail or did you shorten the ponytail?
No, long ponytail.
Really?
Unique and insane. Granted, it looked in real life that would be annoying and give her headaches and her shower like plug hole would be absolutely caked in hair. But I did like the long hair. I think the long hair was cool.
Oh, okay. I picked the shorter hair. I kept getting distracted.
That's fair enough. That's one of the things, good things about these types of games. Each of their own, you can dress her up like a Barbie doll. Mine had
you
red
really
hair.
You really can. I found earrings.
Same. I got loads of earrings.
And it's got no mechanical benefit.
Nope.
No. But you get you.
I know.
You can wear the earrings that matches your outfit.
Exactly. It's
and
very
you can
strange.
Look pretty.
Yeah. It's
and
very
I
strange.
Did. I felt like, pretty playing as.
It's like dystopian world. The world is dying. But can I find earrings that match my outfit?
And you,
and
yes,
it,
you
and
can.
You do. And it is fun.
And you
yeah.
Do. And it is cool. And I, damn it, I'm liking this game more than I thought I would.
Anything else on visuals?
There's truly a lot that can be said. The visuals is the second best part of this game, which is saying a lot.
Mm.
But no, let's go into audio.
Okay, with audio, I've got to just preface something. I love this in games, and the East always does this. I love that the end of the world and everything that happens and everyone, the only accent that lasts is a British or English accent. Like, all the end of the world. And Eve is just is English. Her Lily's English.
Yeah,
her,
right.
The ladies that help her are all English. I'm just like, I love the idea the only language that survived was the little island of England. And
you know what?
Our posh enunciation of words. Yeah.
All the humans left on Earth, they've got this Western accent, right? That sounds American.
Yeah.
And all the angels that came diving to save them, they had an English accent. So I'm wondering, maybe the Americans were left behind to fight the Nativas. And the European Union, or maybe just, I don't know, the English... went into space to Mothersphere.
We just pissed off to Mothersphere. Yeah, very.
Yes.
It's as good as theory as any. It just makes me laugh. It's so often that you get these games and the voices are British. And I like that. Hell, I'm British. I love the idea that I could hear all my fellow Brits. But I just love it's always that because it always sounds like sexy and smart and they want to combine that with Eve's aesthetic.
It does.
I know. It's just funny. It makes me laugh.
A lot of people are in love with the English accent.
Yes, rightfully so.
And hearing Eve, not Lily, talking in an English accent, it I feel the same way.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Eve's accent is sexy. There's no doubt. That's one hot lady package right there. Okay, go on.
But I like the accent, but the voice acting just doesn't feel right.
Did you of Eve herself or just of
all
everyone?
All of them.
Oh,
all of them.
I love them.
The spunk from Lily feels... It doesn't feel earnest. I don't know how to explain. Mm-hmm. It feels put on. Eve's voice as well. Maybe it's just the writing and not the voice acting.
It is sometimes that, yeah.
But I think the biggest culprit is Adam. Okay, Adam's voice feels like AI.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually voiced by a gentleman called Nizar Aldarazi.
I'm super glad to hear he's a real person.
He's a real person. But the thing is, I did do a little dive into the voice actors of this game, and they're all relatively new. For example, Nizar he did the voice in... there's a game that was a Suikoden successor just came out called Iridan Chronicles or something like that. He does a voice in that.
Oh, right, yes. I heard about Iudian or something.
Yeah, I can't see. Yeah, they never let you pronounce it properly. this is pretty much his first main role. The girl who played Lily is pretty... She's been in a lot of British TV. But she just did voices for Baldur's Gate, Alfira.
Oh.
She did some voices in Dragon's Dogma 2.
Whoa, okay.
And she did a lot of little
and
voices.
And now Stellar Blade? Jeez, that's what I mean. That's a resume right
she
there.
She does Ark Knights. I don't know, that's a mobile game, right? Or something. She does Plume. And the same with Eve, the actress who does Eve. She was in The Witcher series on Netflix.
What?
And she played Queen Maeve, I think it is, M-E-V-E, of Lyria. But it wasn't a huge role in The Witcher series.
Jeez.
So
okay, so you're right. These voice actors are relatively new. They've done some things,
but they're not the highest, you know, the highest level of. They're still new. They're still learning, and maybe potentially that's what you heard in regards. And you're right. The script isn't great, so it's kind of a combo. Potentially.
I think you're right. I think it is the script because the Eve's voice. That's good. Lily's voice. Sure, fine. Adam's voice. Oh, I'm very iffy on that. But you're right. I do. Maybe it is just the writing. Maybe it is just the writing that is. This feels like the first draft. Sorry, we already went over that point.
Okay, but I bet you anything. Now I'm asking you about the soundtrack.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yes. Ooh. So the soundtrack is incredibly special for one reason. Do you know what that reason is?
No.
Around 40% of the entirety of the soundtrack, close to 100 tracks, I think, was made by Keiichi Okabe. Do you know who that is?
I don't off the top of my head, no.
That is the composer for Nier Automata's soundtrack.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right, yes. The directors for Stellar Blade and Nier Automata... They actually got together and they had a big old chunky conversation. They shared resources, it sounds like, because Keiichi Okabe made songs for Stellar Blade and it sounds strikingly similar.
Well,
to
it makes
Mia
sense
Automata.
Because it's got the same concept, isn't it? A dystopian,
almost.
Quiet, lonely world that you're trying to navigate through, and the music kind of plays to that a lot of the time, that you're just in a lonely world, just gets to be sad. And you're trying to fix it, or there's devastation and you're walking through it, and it's just it's beautiful music, right? It is really, really pretty.
And sometimes it gets into this high octane, just rush of a track in the middle of fighting. And there's always just a choir or a girl singing
in the background, which is
signature, which is their signature. There are a lot of tracks that I absolutely fell in love with. For Stellar Blade, the one, I can't even remember the name. It's the track that plays in the intro level. That's my second favorite, but my favorite track is the one that plays, one of the tracks that plays at the supply camps.
Oh yes, they're always playing little, and of course you can change the tracks at the supply camps.
They knew what they were doing when they added a record player, and you can change the track.
My
they
favorite,
absolutely knew.
I've done this with a couple games, and I can't remember which other ones it was. You know when you have to make dinner or something, and you pause and go to your home screen of your game on the PlayStation 5, right?
Yes.
And then your icon's just been highlighted, so it starts playing
the theme
music of it. That theme music was great. I was just busy doing that. Was playing in the room, and I thought, wow, that is really pretty. Like, that's a really pretty song. It just played in the background as I was doing something. That's only a few times that's ever happened, and that was this the song, the music coming out of that little pause menu or whatever you want to call it. Yes, yes. Really nice. It was crazy.
It's really good. It's incredible. That's what music can accomplish. And a lot of people look over soundtracks for games because most people think, it's a video game. What am I going to listen to?
Exactly. It's just the fluff. Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, I'm with you.
Soundtracks for video games have gotten so much more.
Mm,
I keep going back to my favorite example, L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
I don't know who the composer for that is, but that sounds like a real, real detective soundtrack from the 1940s.
Yeah, I love that. Love that game. It's I agree entirely.
Incredible. Now I'm getting off point. What did I want to say? I completely forgot.
You're getting old. Just soundtracks and how beautiful are they, and they're becoming bigger and bigger.
Oh yes.
Now in
yes, games. I wanted to compare what this game does with one of my favorite genres, horror games.
Of course, yeah, go on.
I don't know how many Resident Evil games you've played in the past.
I've watched people play them. It's not really my genre.
So you're familiar with the entire Resident Evil cliche of save game music.
Yes, yes, I do. Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
In the entire Resident Evil franchise, whenever you get into a save game area or a save room,
yeah,
there's a specific tune that plays. It is... it's so good. For Resident Evil 5, it would be this melancholic African beat with a djembe drum.
Yeah, makes sense.
Resident Evil 7 would have this out of tune string, the classical Japanese string instrument playing, which was just hauntingly beautiful. Yeah. Resident Evil 4, I think, had whale sounds or something.
Jeez, I wasn't expecting that, but okay, it makes sense, but I suppose.
Each save room has music that plays, that kind of conveys to the player, you are in a safe space.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly it, yeah, exactly.
To, you know, release those the tension in your shoulders.
That's it, yeah, I can see that.
They've become masters at the entire point of a lot of media, which is the balance between tension and release.
Yeah, agreed.
Even in Stellar Blade, the balance between tension and release.
Oh yeah, 100%. When you get to those little save areas or the save spots to upgrade,
exactly. And they do the same thing. They play music for you in the save spot to trick your brain into thinking you are safe here.
Yeah, which isn't true. I got killed in one of those save spots.
Oh no!
Unfortunately, I thought I was safe out in the wasteland when those little needly little buggers came after me and just started kicking my ass. I put the control down and everything, but yeah, that was annoying. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean by the soundtrack. There's that, there's the tension relief as soon as you hear it. Soon as you're like, phew, okay, I get to heal, I get to save, I get to upgrade my stats or something like that. Yeah, I get what you mean.
They do that throughout the entire game, but. They even do that during the gameplay. Incredibly great segue. When you defeat a big enemy, there's this slow-mo slash and millions of particle effects. Yeah, and the body gets cut in half, according to Dave.
Depending on which bad guys. Yeah, but yeah.
All of the loot just spills out onto the ground. That is an insane level of release for the amount of tension you just endured for the past minute.
Yes, no doubt. Agreed.
Such a tightrope.
Why has it gotten to the point now? So this is weird tangent that when you open a chest, everything pops out of it instead of you just claiming it. A few games do that now. You open the chest and it all goes pew 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 out the chest, and then you pick it up. You don't pick it up out of the chest. I've never understood that. Like, just. I don't know why. I've noticed that in a few games, and I don't really understand.
Spectacles?
I guess so. I am still waiting for the day where you can kick a chest in real world and it opens.
Oh, yes.
Right? That's the sweet... Why has no one made that yet? Just the... Doosh, and it opens. That's, every game has those chests now. I want that in real life. But anyway, gameplay.
I want a chest I can open like Kratos opens a wooden chest.
Well, yes, true. I think we need to get a bit more burly for that, to be honest with you. That man does not appreciate a wooden chest at all.
No, I just get to my dresser in the middle of my room and I want to take on my shirt.
Just buy another one. But I've got the shirt.
It's fine.
That's right. And it's ironed and everything.
I don't know. There's a lot of crates. Some crates don't open like that, I think. You need to get 3 key cards at
That's true.
That one doesn't open like that.
That's true. I actually like those ones too. I don't know. Weirdly enough, I like inventive crates. Kind of like, my favorite's always been from Borderlands, when the crate opens up and then opens up again more with all your guns and stuff.
Oh yes, it just keeps opening up.
Yeah, I do. I've always liked that.
That is nice. That is nice.
Gameplay wise, again, this is... I don't play these games that much. I've tried playing Elden Ring and Dark Souls games. I did really enjoy God of War's combat.
Yes.
And I think it's for the same reason I like God of War's combat that I liked this combat.
You know what? I think Sony is doubling down, or has been doubling down, on a very specific gameplay format. The third-person action-adventure.
Yeah.
Which is God of War, Stellar Blade, Horizon Forbidden West, even The Last of Us.
Yeah, that's true.
Uncharted, weirdly. There's a lot of these games that follow that same formula.
No, exactly. It's that same... But this one, granted, just like God of War, it's so balanced, though. I love the... You can either go with dodging, you can go with countering, you can go with blocking, you can go with shooting from afar. And it's so well put together that you don't have to be at, like, amazing levels like of... 1,000 hours into Elden Ring, so you can dodge every attack.
I get what you're saying.
Those frames aren't so tiny that you have to become the greatest gamer in the world to achieve.
And this game is giving you, just like God of War, it's giving you, Eve in this case, options.
Yeah.
It's giving you dozens of options on how you want to approach the situation.
Yeah.
Just like you mentioned, you could parry, dodge, block, shoot, just go toe-to-toe, quick light attacks, or big, heavy beta attacks.
And it just feels so good when you do it. When you dodge, it's in slow-mo, and you turn red, and when you block it, it's this big, boing noise, and you're like, yeah, there's just that mixture of everything in the fight sequences in this game that just brings you back for more all the time.
I'm so stupefyingly surprised by how good the gameplay is in this game, or more specifically, the combat.
Yeah, the combat,
I cannot... Okay, sure, the exploration is nice. The platforming is okay. Oh,
don't get me started on the platforming. It's literally the biggest fault I've got here is the platforming.
Oh, really? let's get that out of the way.
There's moments in this game, I don't know if you've been there yet, where you have to set up... big towers so that you can get more power to your...
I just got to a tower. I stopped at a tower and I need to jump from drone to drone.
Yes. Circular drones.
Is that what you're talking about? The drone jumping?
Circular drones. Poor Eve, she's so good at going at like 60 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour with everything she does. The jump is kind of very static, right? It's not the greatest jump. And then if you jump and you're like, oh, let me make it. And then you're like, you land on it. She often runs 3 or 4 more steps. And then you fall off it. And then you've got to do this like 5 or 6 times on that tower. I died so many times. And it was so frustrating.
So if you mess up on the last drone.
Yeah, you fall to your death. Granted, I'll give you it restarts you just at the bottom of the tower. It's not like an insane save checkpoint or anything. But there are later on bits which the platforming is the only part that lets it down. It's so static and so, it's not polished. It's not polished like everything else is.
That is,
and it's
so
a shame because everybody else, you know, there are lots of games out there where the climbing is so, like, we know the Assassin's Creed climbing. We know other games have used the same type of mechanism, the grip, the slide, the... I thought it would have been relatively easy to put into this game because everything else is so polished. But God, the amount of times I died, just plain died, because she'd jump on the platform and then take 2 steps to the left and then just fall to her death. Just like, start again. Sorry, it was my only real gripe in gameplay is that the platforming just is a bit janky.
I think it's justified. I found the exact same issue. I wrote it down under performance because
was a performance issue. I can understand that,
At the first stage of this game, when you're still going through the ruined city, there's a part where you need to kind of control 2 large steel bars.
Ah, yes, what, yeah, yeah, to make yourself called? A bridge, a girder.
Yes, to make yourself a bridge. Mm. And so I put this bridge to the far left so I can get access to this big, big, big vacant building. Because yeah. there was a human in there with an upgrade to...
Yes, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
I got the outfit hidden away behind the wall, and then I tried to run along this makeshift bridge. The only problem is, in the middle of this makeshift bridge, there was a ledge to this, to the right of it.
Yeah.
That would prohibit me from...
Got you, from proceeding, right?
Yeah, yeah. From proceeding, because when I would just run past the ledge, Eve would start climbing the ledge.
Yeah.
For yes. zero reason.
Yeah, it's those little things. It's exactly that, that that's unfortunate with this game.
For zero reason. Eve, I was running past it, and then she thought, oh, all right, I'll climb it.
Wow. Dude, it's like Eve's in the room with us. But yeah, no, that was a great try at an English accent. Well done.
Thank you.
No, agreed. It's just, like I said, that's the only real thing that I had a problem with. I found I'm a weird old man, kind of. I found R2 to be weird to pick up things with. I don't know. Do other games do that and I'm just old? Like, you press
R2? I don't know, but I actually found it to be quite comfortable. Intuitive, really.
I found the exploring came with a bunch of its own rewards. It's one of those games that isn't, like... open world, but if you do find a little alleyway or if you do dive underwater, you get a ton of rewards, and yes. it, you know, it really does promote exploration. You're not just here to
yeah just trying to go off the beaten path.
Can collecting is an odd choice.
Oh, can collecting
is
yes.
I don't
shift up. They know what's up. Oh, damn, that's my favorite part of this game.
I was wondering if those drinks exist. Like, because it's almost like it's advertised. Ladies and gents, when you find a can, she grabs it, and then she does a pose and pans to the right, looking into a camera.
And there's a sound cue, just this tiny little trombone going, bah-bah!
Yeah, it's almost like, well, when I'm thirsty, I drink, Pitbull energy.
Mountain Dew.
It's a weird thing, and part of me hopes, that those are actual brands of, like, drinks and stuff in Korea. And they paid for some advertising, and that's how they yes. did it, because it's a weird juxtaposition to be saving the world and everybody's dying. But look, energy drink. Whoa. it makes you smile. At the very least, it makes you smile.
Yes, is it. Yeah. Oh, the amount of times games take themselves too seriously.
Yes, they do. That's very true.
It rubs me the wrong way. But when a game does something like this, yes. The world is ending. I need to fight this meat gorilla with a chainsaw head. But no, I'm going to pick up this coffee can and strike a pose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And the cans later on do help unlock things. So there's actually a full reason to actually collect them too.
They do? I would have collected them without any reason.
Old, what's her name? Lily builds you a vending machine. You get to put them in. And when you hit a certain amount, you get... unlocks in regards to how much ammo or whatever you can hold.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's worth collecting as well.
That's cool, I guess. I would have collected them just for the poses.
Yeah, the poses are funny. There's no doubt.
Adore when a game does not take itself too seriously.
Agreed. No, and this is definitely one of those. Anything else?
Yes, I really want to get into the combat.
Okay, go on.
I find it, the controls for the combat, extremely intuitive. I find that when I was playing, each time the game taught me a new move or a new way to do this new thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It very easily slotted into how I played the game.
It does, doesn't it? No, I know exactly what you mean.
The game I want to compare this with, okay... Spoiler, next week we're doing Splinter Cell.
Yes, we are, correct.
No.
This is yes, a next weird week we're segue. Doing Splinter Cell. You're gonna compare the combat from Splinter Cell to this?
Not the combat, the controls.
Go on.
The controls for Splinter Cell so incredibly unintuitive.
Yeah, they're kind of archaic now, that game.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Somebody threw up on the keyboard what the controls would be. And then they just went with that for seven games. This is the polar opposite. It really is. Each time they teach you something in the heat of combat while your adrenaline's rushing, you somehow are able to effectively just do all of them.
Yeah. And it, like you said, it's one of those things, like you were saying earlier, I'm not great at these games. I played God of War, completed it and stuff like that. But a lot of the upgrades and a lot of the things are actually built into what you would already be doing.
Yes.
You know, if you're dodging, you then unlock a double dodge, which would then dodge. And the teleport behind to do a counter gives you that little blue light on your blade when to do it.
Yes.
And you can, and even if you're not looking for that, you could fundamentally just press buttons here and there and still pull off some remarkable moves and feel badass and stuff like that. You're right. No, the button placement. The only thing in the button placement that bugged me a bit was holding the up on the directional pad to open your health things. That, because it had a whole new menu that brought up just so that you could change it from health to instant health and stuff like that.
Oh, was that?
That was just a bit annoying. That's just.
Oh, me. I see. Okay.
You're right. Everything is so smooth in regards to just the control layout and the things you can do.
Yes. I think holding up on the D-pad.
Yeah.
In the past, didn't, to get the weapon wheel out, didn't you have to click R3 or L3 to get them up?
Yes, things like that, yes.
It's been a while since I played any of those types of games.
Yeah, same. But like I said, that's me being nitpicky, because everything else on this is super smooth. It's so much fun. Like God of War. I always thought the same thing about the God of War, the new God of War gameplays.
Yes.
Timing a counter and pulling it off, dodging at the exact right time and doing it right. And it's so much fun.
It really is. The one thing I appreciate that this game does, it's the same thing that Zelda Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom does.
Yeah.
It's straight out of the gate. This game makes you feel like a badass.
Yes, agreed. Right.
Even in the intro level, it's some high octane, big set piece video game junk food, and I love it. And they don't make you feel like a pipsqueak who's just learning how to play the game. No, you're a trained soldier. You should already know all of these things, and you do.
No, yeah, exactly right. The beginning sequence, I'm sure most people, if you played the demo, is a banger.
Oh yes.
And you're right, you're not, you haven't got amnesia, you're not slowly developing your skills as you slowly become a master, you are already that weapon. You are a weapon from Mother's Sphere, and you have come to kill the Alpha Nativa, Nativas, whatever they're called, the big grotesque things. Yeah, you're right.
Oh man, is it the boss fights, aren't they just, ugh! Right? Isn't that just chef's kiss?
They are a lot of fun.
Another,
no doubt.
A chef's kiss.
I can't remember. The big guy with the big balls on his hand was the first one.
Yes,
where you
the
fought
brute.
With that. And then you got the other alpha was that big gorilla guy, right?
Yeah.
How many times?
That's your first alpha. You get elites and then you get alphas.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's true. No, I'm with you.
The gorilla went on top of Lily. That was your first alpha.
Yes. How long did it take? How many times did you take to kill it?
It took a couple of times. I died a load of times. I think it took me 40 minutes to an hour.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was difficult.
Okay. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I did it in two.
Oh, Dave.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Dave, you alpha gamer.
I know, sorry. I just had to flex a little bit there. Don't get me wrong, ladies and gents. Nick has actually completed Elden Ring. And I have not even taken down that first dragon yet in that weird
mog.
So we're east of it.
It's a very difficult boss.
I just suck at that game. Anything else combat-wise? Or
no, I would. I think I would like to drone on about this game.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Hour. Exactly. Yeah, but I don't.
But
think...
no, let's move on to performance, which is another segment that surprised me.
I had one issue. That was pretty much it. This game is, I don't know if you agree, I mean, felt it was quite a complete package. It kind of worked.
I also had the issue, but it was the same platforming issue where I ran past a ledge and she clung onto it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, maybe that isn't really a performance issue, but that's the only one I've got. Besides that, it's It's very optimized for the PlayStation 5.
The only issue I had, and it's, again, it's a very common issue with these types of games because they're so high, high level graphics and stuff. When you're out in the wasteland, I saw some of the weird little monsters moving in front of me in the distance. So it's not like the draw, like close draw distance.
Yeah.
You could slowly see their frame slowing down because the draw distance was so far away.
Oh, I see.
You could see when they were like jumping over the desert because they had a hop-like feature. You could slightly see them, their frames drop when they did it. Which, again, I'm being very nitpicky because as soon as you get close to them, they render perfectly fine and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's just something I noticed when exploring the wastelands.
Yeah, but it does take you out of it.
It does a little bit. But that's it. Everything else, like I said, it just ran kind of well. There wasn't insane loading screens. The menu comes up fine. The map is good. You know,
this was fast traveling.
Yeah, it was built really well. Like, again, I don't understand how other games have those maps that take ages to render, and this one was super quick. But go on.
I don't get it, but that's the thing. When you make a game for a machine,
yes,
you know, if this was a PlayStation 5 exclusive, that is exactly what you want. I know. It sounds a bit counterintuitive, but the developers for this game knew exactly what the specs were going to be for every single machine that's going to play this. So they knew what they were capable of.
Yes, and they worked within it.
To the T.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird that other companies don't do that. I've never understood
it
that.
It is. Right? It's because they want to get their game in front of as many people as possible.
Yeah, that's true.
That includes the Series S, the Series X, the Nintendo Switch, every single PC in existence, which makes it less optimized.
Yes, very much so. It's impossible to.
The argument can sway both ways. It really can.
I agree. But anything else performance-wise? So we both agree that it kind of just ran fine. It's actually quite a complete nice package.
Was it 60 frames? I think this game was 60 FPS.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I think we'd notice now if it's 30 playing on PlayStation.
Yes, I definitely would.
No, it's like I said, I just said this is a neat little package, and I instantly just saw Eve in my head. Because she's a neat little package.
Wow, definitely.
Okay, value for money then. Is this worth the $70 price tag?
$70 is a lot of money.
It is.
I mean, okay, if you like the gameplay loop of an action adventure or an action RPG, like Devil May Cry, I think that's more action adventure than action RPG.
Yes.
If you like a game like Devil May Cry, I think you would like this, and then $70 would be worth the money because the enjoyment you would be getting out of the gameplay loop would justify that price point.
Agreed. And this game, I know it's a weird thing to say, but in nowadays it does come with the new game plus on it. You don't have to buy it from anywhere or earn it in regards to what's that? That was Like a Dragon, right? They sold
the new game. I still can't believe they did that.
I know. I agreed. If this is your type of game, if you are into completing it on normal, then on hard, and collecting all the cans and all the little side missions and making friends, which seems to be a little sub thing that you can do in this game. Yeah, you've got your bang for your buck there, taking into account.
How long does this game take to beat?
I saw it's some people saying about... I have to type that.
I read 30 somewhere.
I was going to say 30, right? I thought...
Because I think $30 of a game as good as the I don't know, 5 hours I've played.
But it says 15 to 20 for story, and then completionists, like 100% complete, it's like 30 or so hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which isn't bad. This is,
no, but $70.
Yeah, that makes that 70 price point a bit upsetting, right? When you can get Elden Ring and Baldur's Gate, granted PC and stuff, which have that longevity aspect to them. It's a neat game, and part of me kind of just wants to, in the world of games that we live in, you should be giving these people your money compared to
companies, right? These are the studios that I'd like to support.
Yes, exactly.
I don't really care, though, if the game is long. If it's just full of fluff and filler, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and...
No, agreed, yes. Geez,
hopefully not Star Wars Outlaws.
Yes, he's hoping, yeah.
then I don't want, that's not the game I want to play. Right. If this is 15 to 20 hours, but it's 15 to 20 hours of pure, just, oh, goodness, that's what I would like to buy.
Yeah.
And $70 is a stretch, but...
And you've got that kind of hope that you're kind of, it's almost positive reinforcement. We buy your game so you'll make other games either in this universe or
yes.
games as good as this. You know, keep up the good work and stuff like that. In, you yes. know, instead of Skull and Bones and what did I read the other day? The Escape or Tarkov or whatever? The CEO tried to release a $250 DLC.
Oh,
which
what?
Was fundamentally pay to win. If you bought it, you got a ton of aspects that nobody else would have.
Really?
I just read an article. Yeah, somebody did a massive...
That's disgusting. Just, faux pas. Just make a game and sell a game.
Yeah,
stop being these corporate assholes.
$250 for
no,
DLC.
No, that's
holy
just
crap.
People being greedy.
That's
come
insane.
On.
But anyway,
the worst
yeah.
is some people bought it.
I know, of course. And there's that aspect now in marketing that you have to aim them at the people who are at YouTube channels and influencers who buy it to go, is it worth it? So I'm going to buy it for you. And so those sales count. They got 1,000 YouTubers that think of doing that same thing. That's yeah. a ton of money instantly. But you're right. I hate the idea.
Oh, I hate it too. Please, let's move on from
this
that
is,
point.
This is why you buy these types of games. Because hopefully, it's a bit worrying that Tencent own 20% of it. But hopefully this breeds or makes better games out there.
Yes,
for us
just
to enjoy.
Honest to goodness video games.
Yes, like they used to be. I know it's a weird cliche that we always
no,
think
you're right. You're
100%
right.
But
I mean,
so that...
I found an outfit in the game and I could unlock it with things I picked up in game and I yep. wore the outfit. I didn't need to buy it from
no,
the
exactly
store
right. That's
with
right.
my...
That's right.
This is what it's...
And it wasn't an insane grind, like getting
no,
30 hours
it wasn't.
Just to get all of it and random drops and all this other crap just so eventually you can get the one you liked. This is...
I think what I'm trying to get at with value for money. I'm not trying to get longevity. I'd like just... value
yes,
for
exactly.
my money and
exactly.
if it's short 15 to 20 hours is that a valuable amount of I'm a broken record at this
yeah
point.
You're going up and down it's perplexing. I think a lot of people out there think the same thing.
Yes,
but you know the games aren't cheap. It's not a cheap hobby for anyone.
No.
And you do have that nervousness or trepidation when you go and buy this because you think to yourself, God, what if it's... Like, the people who bought Suicide Squad at $100 pre-release and
oh, wow.
all these
Those
other people.
Those poor souls. Those
and then you're
poor
like,
souls.
Exactly. There are some people who probably saved up and all this. And then you
yes.
go, oh, well, there you go. That was that wasted. It
Little
is,
Timmy in ninth grade.
Yes,
this
exactly.
is the only game he could buy.
Yeah, it's there again, we're going to go on shilling on the corporate assholes. But this game isn't. The hope this game is South Korean. They're making... great games recently. I love to see it. I love to see foreign games doing well as well. And send money their way compared to other game companies
yes,
that we all know
the
of.
Studios you should be supporting.
Yeah. Did you see that there's a... I don't know, but it's almost there was foreshadowing that a company called Eidos in this game seems to be the bad guy potentially, which was quite funny. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
There's one of the companies on the planet in Zion and stuff like that, when you go around and pick it, it's called Eidos.
Well, the planet's called Eidos 7.
Yes, but a lot of the... I just wonder if that's a weird little nod to Eidos and the old publisher and the shenanigans that happened there. Anyway, it just came to mind when I was thinking about it.
Maybe. Another conspiracy theory?
Okay. Exactly. I'm full of them. So what did we score this bad boy then?
Stellar Blade, an extremely surprising title, published by Sony. Thank you, Sony, once again.
Mm, yeah, not too bad.
We took our scores, we sent them to Planet Earth through the Airborne Squad number 7. It got shot down by the Natibas, but thankfully, a couple of scores made it to the island. Ran up to the brute, dodging bombs along the way, and finally... shot him down, only, oh no, for our master score to get, what's it, impaled?
Yeah, that works, yeah.
Yeah, they got impaled, and got saved by Adam. This is going on for way too long.
This is good. Yeah.
Anyway, they made their way to Silent Street and matured into the letter grade rating of B+.
That's great.
Excellent score.
Which is
B+.
Out of the gate as well. The thing that they only made mobile games and a bit of MMOs and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, those games are hard to make. But to come out with your first like IP and it's this, it's a B+. You know, it's the same score we actually gave Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Incredible.
Right, yeah. Really. It's, and it is that level. It's that level it is. It's well deserving of B+.
Please don't listen.
I will play some more of this later today. I need to complete
this. I'm going to finish this because I need to know if this is in a simulation or not.
Yes, it's the Matrix. It's just Neo at the end with Trinity, and they're like, do you want the blue pill or the red pill?
Yeah, I need to know.
Exactly. It's already got us both hooked. You should definitely give it a try.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We appreciate you for listening. Truly, we really do. You could follow us on our social channels, YouTube, Instagram. You can catch me on email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com.
And I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
Besides for your email, Dave, where else can we follow you?
I am out and about, but after releasing Lily from her capsule that was underground for 2 years, I've asked if I could now have it, and so she handed it over to me. So if you do find me out there, I do know where this capsule is buried, I do know how to put people in it, and I do know how to close it off for 2 years, and we are not designed for them. That's the risk you'd go to. So by all means, find me if you want to spend the rest of your life inside of, what can I only imagine, a very claustrophobic cylinder.
Don't do that. You will die.
Yeah, even though Nick sounds like he'd like to put Lily back into the capsule fundamentally. So, it depends which way you swing.
Don't do that. Rather, support us on Patreon for exclusive content like our post show and Critical Cinema, both very good shows.
Yeah.
Speaking of very good shows, Dave, what have we got lined up for next week? Although I think
you've already given a little clue away. Next week we are playing the 2004. It is a classic. Yes. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell: Pandora Tomorrow. It's a bit of a name. That was a big game back in the day, but how does it still hold up is the question. That we're going to find out next week, because I know that game had a big multiplayer aspect to it, which in theory doesn't exist anymore. So
yes,
we get
that's
to
true. Isn't it nice when the servers get shut down?
Yeah, right? Really shut down. But we'll look into it, see how it fares in today's gaming world.
So tune in next week to listen in on that. And we'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.